This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frinnis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about go-to-market in calendar weeks 26 and 27. Frinnis is a B2B market research partner helping ICT and tech providers identify niche channel partners by compressing the full journey from identification to qualified first meeting into 4 to 5 weeks. You can find more info in the description. So, what if I told you that one of the most efficient revenue teams operating this week literally didn't employ a single human sales rep?
I mean, it sounds crazy, but welcome to this customized deep dive. We are really thrilled you're here as we unpack these massive shifts happening in B2B growth. Because looking at the conversations among revenue leaders, the consensus is pretty undeniable.
Yeah, the old playbook of just, you know, throwing more headcount at more software to generate pipeline, that's just breaking down. And today we're looking at the top go-to-market trends seen across LinkedIn to see what's actually replacing it.
Exactly. A completely new operational model is taking over.
Right. And our mission for you today is to deliver a zero-fluff analysis of those curated insights. We've clustered them into four essential themes that basically trace the evolution of modern GTM. First, we'll look at agents and AI-native GTM architecture.
Which is a huge one.
Totally. Then we're going to look at the raw materials feeding those agents, so data, context, and signal quality. Third, we'll explore why GTM engineering is becoming this core execution layer. And finally, the human element, and how to actually earn trust in a completely automated world.
Let's jump right into that first theme, agents and AI-native GTM architecture, because the maturity curve we're seeing here is, well, it's incredibly steep.
Oh, absolutely. AI has moved way past just being a simple copywriting assistant, right?
Yeah, I mean, think about where we were just a year ago. A marketing team was considered super cutting edge if they just used an LLM like ChatGPT to draft a slightly more personalized cold email.
Yeah, and today that's basically table stakes, like almost obsolete.
Exactly. The conversation has completely shifted from task assistance to full outbound orchestration. So it's not just writing the email, it's executing the entire sequence of logic leading up to it.
Right. It decides who to target, watches for the exact second they enter a buying window, picks the channel, and just deploys the outreach. Which brings up Pankaj Kumar. He provided this brilliant illustration of what he calls his GTM control room.
Yeah, I saw that. And to be clear for everyone listening, this isn't some theoretical white paper. This is his live production setup.
Right, it's a live pipeline with 9 distinct AI agents and 0 human reps.
0. And the mechanics of how those 9 agents interact is what's really fascinating. Because instead of one massive AI trying to do, you know, everything poorly, he uses specialized agents with highly constrained directives.
Like the ICP strategist agent.
Exactly. Its only job is to score potential accounts against their ideal customer profile. That's it. Then there's a Signal Sentinel agent that just monitors those scored accounts 24/7 for buying triggers.
Uh-huh. Like a new executive hire or a funding round.
Yeah. And then once that Sentinel detects a signal, it hands the account off to an outreach architect agent that actually builds the messaging sequence.
And there's even one that extracts sales intel, right? Mining old call transcripts to build this dynamic objection handling bank. It's just wild.
It really is. The agents just run on a scheduled loop within strict guardrails. So there's one human acting as an overseer, but the system finds prospects, filters bad fits, and warms up inboxes before that human even logs in for the day.
Wow. And the latency reduction there changes everything about the unit economics.
Oh, totally. A human SDR might take 3 hours to research an account and draft an email. Pankaj's system does that entire loop in milliseconds at scale.
Yeah, and building on that, it's not just agent-to-agent communication. Fernando C. shared his current architecture, and he has wired 24 different API-first tools into one centralized AI agent that just runs the pipeline while you sleep.
24 tools? I mean, yeah. Doing that used to require a dedicated engineering team just to maintain those fragile integrations.
Right. So he replaces the old method of needing headcount for every dashboard. Mm-hmm. He's leveraging tools built to communicate with other software, API first tools like Apollo or Ocean.io for targeting.
Or Full Enrich for contact data.
Exactly. In the old model, you needed a human to manually export a CSV from Apollo, upload it to Full Enrich, scrub the bounces, push it to the CRM. But Fernando replaces all that manual routing using an AI operator. Like Claude Code.
Which communicates with these tools directly using MCP, the Model Context Protocol. That is a crucial development. You can think of MCP as like a secure universal translator.
Right, so it standardizes how AI interacts with data.
Yeah, it lets an AI securely reach into your local database or CRM and trigger actions without needing a developer to build a custom bridge.
It's basically like we've stopped giving a single copywriter a slightly faster typewriter, and instead we've built a fully automated factory assembly line that just runs itself.
That's a great analogy, and the democratization of this is moving so fast. Vanessa Ponce recently built 42 different GTM AI agents to replace 8 disconnected tools.
42.
Yeah, and she made them completely free for teams to deploy, proving that, you know, the barrier to entry isn't budget anymore. It's really just operational focus.
But, you know, an automated factory is completely useless without raw materials, which logically brings us to our second theme. What exactly are we feeding these agents? So, data, context, and signal quality.
Right, because this is the invisible bottleneck for almost every revenue team trying to deploy AI. Florin Tatulia surveyed GTM leaders and found that the actual blocker isn't the AI models themselves.
It's the fragmented data, isn't it?
Exactly. If the foundation isn't ready, the AI just fills the gaps with noise. Half the leaders admitted their data is just too fragmented. If customer usage is in one platform, support tickets in another, and the CRM is a mess, the AI can't build a cohesive picture.
Which leads to Nierling's warning about garbage maxing. But wait, I want to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Okay, go for it.
If I have all this data, like every CRM field, every Slack message, 5 years of call transcripts, shouldn't a smart LLM just figure it out? Why is giving it more context a bad thing?
I get why you'd think that, but context overload actually kills AI efficiency. Nierling gave this perfect example of a VP who took the feed it everything approach for an account summary.
Oh no, let me guess, a giant wall of text.
Exactly. The result was massive and dense. It had every fact, but zero actionable insight. So instead of telling the rep that a company just hired a new CIO who used a competitor, it gives them a 5-page history of billing updates from 2021.
Okay. Yeah, that's completely useless for a sales call.
Right. The hardest problem isn't generating answers anymore. It's deciding what deserves to be in the prompt. If you give an LLM too much noise, its attention mechanism gets diluted.
So it loses the ability to weigh what's important versus what's just trivia.
Exactly. More data isn't better. Curated data is better.
Which reminds me of Mata Sakati's point. She said that cleaning this data swamp is what actually empowers GTM teams to work less and create more.
Yeah, sellers shouldn't be chained to their desks debugging bad lead routing. Clean data frees them up.
But that introduces a huge question. If you have the architecture and you've cleaned the data, who actually runs this machine? Because it's not a traditional marketer or a sales rep.
And that gap brings us to our third theme. GTM engineering becomes a core execution layer. We're seeing this new role that bridges RevOps, growth marketing, and AI workflows.
Yeah, the GTM engineer, Jan Brockwich, actually explained this through Clay's FEET framework, right? F-E-T-E.
Yes. Find, enrich, transform, export. It's a whole mindset of taking messy inputs and building systems rather than just learning a specific tool.
So like in the find stage, they aren't just buying a list. They build a workflow that dynamically scrapes LinkedIn for funding news.
Right. And then enrich, they build waterfall logic. If provider A doesn't have the email, it automatically pings provider B.
And transform is where it deduplicates records, formats names, and scores intent. Before finally hitting export to route clean data directly into the CRM.
Exactly. But there's a massive warning here from Maria Rincon.
Oh yeah, the sequencing issue. She warned that hiring a GTM engineer before you have product market fit just amplifies your foundation problems.
It really does. If you don't have a clear ICP or validated messaging, hiring a GTM engineer is... well, it's dangerous.
It's like putting a rocket engine on a shopping cart with a broken wheel.
Yeah.
You aren't fixing the cart, you're just crashing into the wrong buyers at Mach 3.
I love that analogy. You just end up automating rejection. And Jack Berry and Brett Hovenek added to this. They said teams need to diagnose broken motions and hire traditional RevOps first.
Why RevOps first, though? Aren't they considered kind of the old guard?
Well, because RevOps builds the commercial logic layer. They define what a sales qualified lead actually is. If those definitions aren't mathematically precise, your new GTM engineer is going to spend all day just debugging bad systems instead of building automations.
That makes total sense. But taking this to its logical conclusion, if every competitor successfully engineers these perfect automated outbound rockets, the market is going to be absolutely flooded with infinite, highly personalized AI outreach.
Oh, without a doubt. The cost of generating a quote-unquote good cold email will drop to zero.
So how does a brand actually win then?
That brings us to our final theme, the human element and earning trust. Because when AI mimics personalization at scale, it's not a differentiator anymore.
Right. Mathieu de Tarlay made a super sharp observation about this. He said U.S. enterprise decision makers are so swamped with cold outreach that they're just numb to it.
Completely numb. Being hyper-personalized doesn't matter if you're just one of 50 AI emails they got that morning.
So GTM teams are replacing traditional outbound with these advisor boards built from target buyers, asking for their expertise to shape a roadmap instead of just pitching them.
Exactly. You gain credibility and network access that way. And Harsha Raj had another fascinating take, direct mail.
Wait, really? So the ultimate cutting-edge response to hyper-advanced autonomous AI agents is like the postal service.
I know, it sounds hilarious, but yes. In an age of infinite digital outreach, sending a thoughtful physical postcard tied to an executive dinner actually cuts through the noise.
Because it requires genuine effort, right? Huh. Low-tech mediums stand out.
Yeah. Kai Hackbarth confirmed this from the deep tech sector, too. AI is great for top of funnel, but in high ACV, complex deals, procurement and security stakeholders require trust.
And trust doesn't automate. You need a human being to look a CFO in the eye and guarantee their data is safe.
Precisely. Akansha Jaiswal noted that the goal here isn't to replace marketers with AI, it's to free them from the busy work.
So they have the actual bandwidth to build trust and relationships.
Right. Because an AI agent can write a perfect white paper, but it can't read the room in a boardroom.
Absolutely. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, social selling, and AI, and B2B marketing.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Be sure to subscribe. And, you know, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. As AI drives the cost of digital outreach and content generation down to zero, the only marketing channels that will retain a premium ROI are the ones that are fundamentally unautomatable and unscalable. In the future, doing things that don't scale might actually be the most scalable strategy you have.